time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here. It is Monday, August 28th, and this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you here as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Byte Software. Byte provides an exceptional level of LOS customization that allows you to work the way you want. That's right, the way you want, not forced into the way the vendor wants you to work. Whether you're the COO managing thousands of users or an entrepreneur starting out with nothing but just the uncompromising vision of your business, consider Byte Software. It is the way to go. They are used by some of the largest all the way down to some of the smallest. It's a great full enterprise system, and I recommend you give it a consideration. Check out how to connect with them on our advertisers page on the website. Also, Finastra, market leading point of sale and loan origination platforms. They do a great job of being a leader in the marketplace. We're thrilled to have Finastra here. They have the full gamut of products and services that will take care of your institution and be very valuable to helping you in the mortgage lending process. Also, Total Expert, a leading fintech software company that delivers purpose-built CRM and customer engagement for the modern financial institutions. Be sure to check out the interview we did with Mike Russell on August 2nd, just a few weeks ago. Mike is also known as Magic Mike. You'll enjoy that interview. Also want to thank Candor Technology, built on the popular LES decision engine. It's also a patented product. You need to check that out. Also, Candor Plus is a Lean Six Sigma product, as well as a human plus machine solution spanning the entire loan fulfillment process. Be sure to check out the interview we did on May 26th with Ed Karani. Also, Simple Nexus is a software and technology vendor that we encourage you to check out. Also, Simple Nexus, and thank you for their sponsorship. They are a mortgage software and technology solution for the modern lender. Also, check out the interview we did with Andrea Lightfoot. It's on from March 8th. It's timely. It's a while back, but it's very timely. Also, iEmergent, they have a great product that helps you, again, figure out which markets to go in and with whom to do business. Also, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, also Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, and Modix. So grateful to have these as our sponsors. And now let's get into the podcast. Last week on August 23rd, we released the podcast interview with James Robert Lay of Digital Growth Institute. And the topic was banking on digital growth. There's a lot of information in that interview. I encourage you to listen to that podcast. Also, upcoming this week, we have Mike Vrasco of Evolve Bank and Trust Mortgage. Very interesting comments. I heard him say when he was at the Total Expert Conference, and I invited him here to talk about how to succeed in these kind of tough markets. It's a great interview. Encourage you to listen to it. That will be released August 30th. Now, shout out to our regulars, Adam DeSanctis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, and Mark Helm. Good to have them here. Appreciate the participation in the podcast. It's time to listen to what Adam DeSanctis has from the MBA with today's Mortgage Minute. Adam, what you got?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSanctis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA responded to a proposed rule issued on June 1st by six federal agencies seeking to implement quality control standards for automated valuation models, also known as AVMs. We reiterated in our letter our position that rooting out discrimination in home valuations must remain a priority, but that lenders cannot be held liable on fair lending grounds for the actions or inputs of an independent third party, such as an appraiser or AVM. We also encouraged the GSEs to publicly release their loan-level appraisal datasets and cautioned that an overly burdensome or opaque regulatory scheme risks discouraging AVM use altogether, especially among smaller lenders. We will continue to engage with federal policymakers to develop a principles-based quality control approach that is feasible for AVM users of all sizes and business models. And finally, we're now under 2 months away from NBA's annual convention and expo. We hope to see you in the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, on October 15th through the 18th. Register today at nba.org/annual. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate that update. Always check out all that is at the NBA through the NBA News Link and the various resources within the NBA. And again, sign up for the NBA Mortgage Action Alliance app. Now let's get over to Les Parker with TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Bonds saw the sign and it opened up their eyes. They saw the sign. Bears are demanding without understanding.
Another week brings another attack on the recent high yields, but with no breakthrough above the pre-financial crisis, resistance at 440 to 535 in the 10-year yield. Is growth Konjunktur or Wachstum? The first German word describes economic cycles, while the latter expresses long-term growth. To address long-term problems requires defining problems. Rate cycles impact home lending, yet lenders thrive using tech to create a great UX and deliver high-quality loans to investors. Are you bitter or getting better?
So where do you belong?
These views are mine. Get better at tmspotlight.com.
Thanks, Les. Appreciate the TM Spotlight update. And you can get signed up to receive the paid version of the newsletter for free if you put the code word POWER for PowerSeller in where the sign-up section is of the newsletter. It's a great newsletter. You're going to enjoy it tremendously. All right, let's get over to Matt Graham. Matt Graham's here with an update on the markets. Matt, at least the markets have moved back to somewhat lower, but where are we going? What is going on? Give us some information. Good to have you here.
Yeah, good to be here. And that's how they get you, David, is they have you convinced that moving lower is worth anything when we're moving lower to 4.22 whatever in the 10-year treasury yield. But to take a page out of David Kittle's book, rates are where they are, and they're not probably going to come down much anytime soon. But then again, my purview here is to talk about market movement. So I'll do that really quickly. Rates are still high, and they started last week at the highest levels in a couple decades for mortgages and since 2007 in 10-year treasury yields. A lot of that was an extension of the previous week and a half's momentum and not really based on any new developments in the market. And that changed on Wednesday when we did have new developments in the market. Everybody's been saying the Fed and market watchers, economists, and forecasters have been saying that economic data is important. And then we saw this little run up to higher rates that didn't really connect very well to economic data. But now coming back in the other direction, we did see a solid connection on Wednesday with the PMI data from around the world, really. And that's a purchasing managers index. And it's like a more timely GDP, if you will, broken into the services and manufacturing sector. Markets tend to focus on the services sector more than manufacturing right now. And that's what was weaker in Europe in the overnight session. And that kicked off a snowball rally in the bond market. And then when the US version of the services PMI came out at 9:45, it reinvigorated that rally and made last Wednesday one of a handful of days that 10-year yields rallied more than 10 basis points and mortgage rates dropped more than an eighth of a percent. And fueled maybe some hope that we had seen a ceiling for the time being. That is the sort of conclusion on which the jury will be out until we get additional data. But at the time, the reason that was given or suspected for the market not rallying even more on Thursday was that we had Fed Chair Powell coming up at Jackson Hole on Friday morning. And there was like a lot of market expectation and buzz about things he might say that he's A, already addressed, or B, has said he's not going to change his mind on anytime soon. But nonetheless, people were wanting him to say something about R star, or the neutral Fed funds rate that perfectly balances growth and inflation in a sustainable way. And other people have surmised that he would talk about a change in the inflation target. He put both of those things to bed fairly conclusively, saying 2% is the target. And then actually ECB Pres Christine Lagarde said the same thing in her segment later in the day, and saying that would just undermine central bank credibility even more if we were to go around changing our inflation target. So forget about it. And on the topic of R star, Powell basically said, hey, look, there's so many variables right now. We've already, he didn't say these words, but this was my interpretation. We've already had some challenges with dialing in monetary policy in the wake of COVID. It would not make any sense to guess about what R star, if it needs to change. We don't even really know exactly what it is, and we're constantly in a state of figuring it out. Both of those things were put to bed. The market had a little bit of a hawkish read on it, and that translated to higher short-term rates, two-year treasury yields, and Fed funds futures. And it didn't hurt longer-term rates as much, which just sidestepped into the afternoon after a little bit of initial volatility. But all in all, Powell didn't say anything super new, no major surprises. It's data-dependent. They may or may not hike again. There's a certain amount of restrictive monetary policy that's already in place due to the current level of rates, and we don't know exactly how much restriction that's going to transfer to the economy and to inflation over time, because these things take time to play out. All of that left the focus squarely on economic data. And with all of that in mind, this week has a ton of economic data, super relevant stuff. JOLTS, job openings and labor turnover survey tomorrow, then ADP employment and GDP on Wednesday, and core PCE, or just PCE inflation, and jobless claims on Thursday, and of course, the big jobs report on Friday. All of those reports in and of themselves have been responsible for a decent amount of market movement if they've come in far from forecast. And if they do so again this week, no reason to expect that would change. As far as rates, I think there is a little bit of seller exhaustion, and that may have been seen on Tuesday when rates stopped going higher at the same pace and without any real motivation in terms of data or underlying events. And then Wednesday, I think that, you know, paved the way for the PMI data to really have a bigger effect than it otherwise might have. So if sellers are indeed exhausted, if they're looking for an excuse to buy, and if economic data were to come in weaker than expected this week, then we could see whether or not there is a will to counterattack against the recent rate spike. Either way, it's going to take, I don't know, weeks, maybe months of cohesive messaging in the data for a sustained shift back toward lower rates. Conversely, if the data somehow miraculously pointed to runaway growth, then yes, rates could go higher, as a lot of people are worried about. But it's all up to the data, and the data hasn't come out yet, so we'll wait to see what it says.
Very interesting. Mr. Kittle or Mark Helm, any questions for Matt?
I'll start it off if I can. Matt, I'm reading a lot in, I'll call them rags for no better terminology, about rates and projections for next year. And Mr. Kittle alluded to it, and he probably will talk about it here in a minute. But a lot of people are predicting that the rates will be high until about July of next year, and then miraculously, they'll turn and drop quite substantially pre-election. Do you think, what's your take on a political party in office having the ability to say and do things to get the rates to drop that much at a whim? I just like your opinion on this. I read like a couple things a week for 3 weeks about that now.
Yeah, I haven't read anything about a political party having an influence on rates, and I don't believe any political party can make rates go lower. I think the easiest thing for an administration to do, or for Congress to do, is to make rates go higher, either by issuing more debt or cutting taxes. And so we've seen both of those things with the tax cuts, pushing rates higher, and then most recently with a ton of spending, creating excess treasury issuance and pushing rates higher, not to mention the fiscal policies that arguably caused a good amount of the recent inflation post-COVID that pushed rates higher. I think almost all of the political banter that I've heard and seen surrounding the rate cycle being tied to the election cycle is coming from people that are always going to force any market movement into a political context, whether it deserves to be that or not. And I think that's probably one of the most unfortunate things with respect to the discourse between politics and economics in the US. And I really wish people would do less of it and focus more on the objective details.
Yeah. I guess sometime when you people doing that, you also got to remember who their audience is. It's people want to hear those kind of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing, not about politics, but about the internet and social media and just where we've come as a society in terms of the level of stimulation we need intellectually and emotionally when we're digesting our media. I prefer it much more boring personally, but I understand most people don't.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, yep. Matt. Mr. Kettle, any thoughts?
Sure. I'll step in and say I'm one of the persons that Matt is talking about, and he likes to look at data. So go back and look at the data over the elections when rates have been affected over the last, since election, since Jimmy Carter. And you'll find that when people make the statements like myself, that rates are going to fall before an election or they'll change before an election, they absolutely, by and large, most of the time do. And they do because, which he did say, because of the policies in place of that particular administration, up or down. We have policies in place now by this administration since he has been in office that are inflationary, period. We've borrowed money we shouldn't have borrowed, paid for things. We have all, and do they all do it? Absolutely. But we're talking about the environment we're in right now. So I'll say again, I think rates are going to fall, and the administration, because of what they say, their narrative, how they act, including Congress, has absolutely an effect on what happens to interest rates. And it happens, and you need to just go back and look at it. And listen, next September, October, if I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to say so on this show. But I go back a lot longer than most people on this call, except for Mr. Licken. And I mean that affectionately, David. I've seen it all the way back from 18.5%, and I've lived it. And so I'm going to stick by it that politics do have an effect on interest rates
because of what is put out there. They 110% have an effect. I just think that it would be very hard for politicians to make rates go quickly lower to serve political purposes. It's much easier for them to push rates higher.
Let's be clear on something. I've never said that Biden's going to make it done. I just said that it's an election year. I'm just covering what I've said on the show. And this is good. This is good debate right now. On this show, I said it's an election year. Rates will go lower. Didn't say who, what, when, or why, but watch it happen. And if I'm wrong, then I'll be the first one to say, hey, I blew it.
Yeah.
But historically, that's what happens.
Historically, it has happened. And at least the last three election years, we had Brexit going into the middle of 2016, which was pushed rates lower around the world. And then we had the Greek and European debt crisis in 2012, pushing rates lower around the world. And in 2008, I don't need to tell you what we had, pushing rates lower around the world. So sometimes there are third variables in play. But
true, but everything you just mentioned was done by political decisions. Brexit, there are politicians making decisions on currency back and forth, or whatever you want to say. There's still politicians making decisions. We say we live in free markets. We don't. We live in manipulated markets. There's not a free market out there right now except the choice for individuals to buy or sell.
Absolutely. You can't separate the impact of politics on rates.
Right.
There's no question. Yeah. I would not ever disagree with that.
Yeah, good. Then we agree.
Yeah. The point is, though, whatever's going to happen, you need MBS quote line.
You could use something else.
We're not going to use that. I haven't used that forever. I don't know why I go back to that. It's just rolled out of my mouth for so many years. No matter what's going on with interest rates, you need to check out mbslive.net for the latest activity. Because when you're talking to your consumers, your borrowers, those people that you're hoping to get a mortgage with or for, you need to know what's going on. And what Matt has offered through mbslive.net, it happens. And it's excellent. I love your system, Matt. Thank you so much for being here each and every week. You can sign up, listeners, and get an extended trial period by using LOL in the sign-up code. Again, I tell everybody, just sign up. It's so dang affordable. Why not? So appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for your report. Thanks for the discourse on this. I love the dialogue, listening to the different perspectives, especially as we get closer to an election year. It's very interesting stuff. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Mr. Kittle is here with an update on election. I always love to hear what you have to say. David Kittle, who is the chairman, co-chairman. What is your position now at TMC?
Chief Executive Officer.
Okay, so very good. Very good. Good to have you here. What do you have for an update, friend?
I was watching. I have a lot of family in the business, and I guess all of us that have been in it long enough, a lot of our friends are in this business. So over the weekend, we're discussing, and everybody continues to talk about, if you're following social media, specifically LinkedIn, and rates are still an issue. So we had a really deep dive with the family this weekend. And of course, mine goes back farther than anybody else. But I just think it's time, and I've said it before, that we have to move past always discussing interest rates. They are where they are. You had a great piece by Dave Stevens on LinkedIn. Mark Jones, NBA chairman, gave his view. And everybody has great opinion. Everybody has the right to opine. And I'm going to take my right now and just say it is time we accept where they are until they move, because somebody's going to get a deal. If you sit there and you become paralyzed by where rates are, there is a way to make it work. You just have to figure it out and work it out, because they're not going to move for a while. And they're not going to move down for a while. We've got an administration who doesn't have a housing policy. And we have a Fed chairman who reports theoretically to the president, because he can make that change anytime he wants to. And right now they're trying to fight inflation that was put in place, in my opinion, by the administration. So it's a real oxymoron going on with this. And we just need to stop thinking about it. They're there, right? I wish they would go down, but 7 or 7.25 is a lot better than 9. And it's not as good as 6. So I just think we need to learn to deal with it.
Got to deal with it. Good advice. And I think it's when you're losing business, or your people are putting that up in front of your face, if you're a loan officer, I understand the pushback that they're getting and the frustration they're getting, but we've got to get to the point we develop. Any particular skills you say would suggest to our listeners, those that are especially in the origination forces out there, as to how to get past it?
Sure. I think the first thing, in this particular environment, it's easier for somebody to say no to you when they're on phone or you're going back and forth with text or whatever else. Find a way to meet face to face with your customer and sit down and have a real conversation and say, there may be a way for me to work this loan out for you. I need to look and really look at your total debt package. What do you want to buy? What do you think you can qualify? We can structure this loan for you.
I want to talk to you.
Yeah. And then I want to talk about the money I believe that I can save you overall, how you can compress the loan and maybe put yourself in a better financial position over the next 5 or 6 years. Rates fall, I'm happy to refinance it for you. But I think you have to get in front of your customer these days. I don't think you can continue to do it, if you are, by Zoom, Teams, text, or however else. You got to get face to face if you can.
Can I make a couple comments on that?
Oh, please.
First of all, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you said. And I was one of those people that a number of decades ago had to assume an 18% FHA loan. And I thought I was getting a bargain then, because I wasn't doing all the closing costs to do a new loan. I think most of you guys on the phone know that I've had a house for sale for $650,000 for now for 15 months. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow you away. I don't think it's all right now. I think it's big rate, but I don't think it's all right. I think people have got a mental block right now, for whatever reason, against buying in this market. I don't know or they think the economy's going. I don't know what's going on. Let me give you an example. I just recently came off a 90-day period of time where I offered a 5% owner financing on my home with a 20% down and a 10-year balloon. And my property, I'm listing it for a good 20% under what the market is because I just want to sell it. So something's telling me, even when you give them a good rate, they're not acting, some of them. And I'm hearing the same thing for some realtors in the Houston area. They're not showing properties now. And I feel like I'm doing my realtor's job right now. So I think a lot of people are feeling that way because people just don't want to get creative and figure out, try to how to make something work. But properties aren't moving in Houston. They're moving in the rest of the country. They're just not moving in Houston.
Well, Mark, there's a good word for you right there, and that's creativity. You've got to get creative. You've got to get in front of people. I think it is. It's all about the inflation, but we're going to have to take a different approach and a positive attitude to everything. And it is creativity. It is structuring the deal. It is sitting down with the couple, the man and the wife, traditional buyers, and letting them know there's a way to structure this loan. And when rates do fall, if they do, then we're here to help you refinance. But you've got interest rate deduction on a higher interest rate. All right. You have in inflation, when you buy a higher priced piece of property, the value of that home rises more. So you actually can build wealth in an inflationary environment. There are all kinds of little comments and idiosyncrasies that we have to go back to when interest rates were at the 12, 16, and 18%. That were selling points for us at that time. And they were true.
Yeah.
Would you rather earn whatever house is appreciating right now? Let's just say it's at 6 or 7%. You want to earn 7% on $200,000. You want to earn 7% on $450,000 or $500,000 house.
Yep.
Where there are ways to work around this, and you really got to think about it. And the people that have been in the business only 10, 12 years aren't thinking this way, and they don't get it. By and large, not everybody, but that's a broad statement, but it's pretty factual.
I'm thinking about starting doing seminars to realtors of what they can do to make a deal work, because they certainly not thinking about it. I'm speaking from personal experience for the last year and 3 months. So anyway, we'll see.
Don't disagree with you, Mark. All of this is correct. I hate the word perfect storm, but that's where it is.
Yep.
And it's because of all the negativism out there. And all the discussion focusing on interest rates and inflation, yes, it's there. But in this environment, you can make money long term by getting that house now. So
good stuff. Good. That's an interesting thought, Mark, that you offered seller financing at 5% and that didn't move the needle. That's really interesting.
I got one showing off that, David. One showing.
That is really interesting. Maybe there's something more. Thoughts? Listeners, would love to hear from you on that.
I think it's because they knew you were an Alabama fan, Mark.
That was it. That was it, David. That's for sure. That's okay, because I'm going to get you to that stadium in Tuscaloosa to watch Kentucky play next year. So we're going to see that.
I'm looking forward to the massacre.
Very good. That'll wrap segment. Appreciate it very much, guys. All right. Alice Alvey is here with a legislative update. Alice, good to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thank you. And today I just have three, I hope, are quick things. First up is the USDA proposed rule on manufactured housing. This opened up for comment on August 16th, and the comment period closes October 16th. What's great about this is the USDA has been doing a pilot in a few states for manufactured homes. And this proposed rule is very straightforward to just simply implement that nationally. They have to get this approval, run through the process like some other agencies don't, which we'll be talking about. But they are going to run through the process and make sure that they get all the buy-in. And from an industry standpoint, this is a simple and easy go out there, comment, yes, we're all in favor of USDA picking up this segment to be able to offer their financing to manufactured homes. So go to regulations.gov, or you can simply Google USDA proposed rule manufactured housing, and I bet you it takes you right there to that link. The second thing is the FHA handbook update. Just a quick reminder to go check that out. There are a few simple changes that HUD has put in there. Most of it is grammatical, but it's always good to just run through, make sure that you as a lender haven't missed a small little edit out there. First of all, they've got some modifications to foreign income, or some clarity, as they would say, and then technicalities on transferring existing appraisals. Those are two things that jumped out at me that lenders should go double check on. And then the last thing is appraiser independence memos issued by Fannie and Freddie. Now, they will say that these are clarifying policies, but I will tell you there are some slight changes in phrasing where, as lenders, it's a good idea to pick this up, revisit your entire appraiser independence policy. Usually what I find when the agencies republish something that they refer to as a clarification, you can usually bet that's going to be a focus of the next audit next time they come in. So you can tell what's on their minds by things that get brought to the surface that need clarification, because maybe they've seen a shop or two out there that wasn't quite clear on how they interpreted appraiser independence. And you want to make sure you really get this buttoned up, especially for the TPO, those of you who do third-party originations. So, Dave, that's my quick update for the group today, and I'll pass it back to you.
Good. I have a question, Alice. Mark and I got off a phone call just a few minutes before we started the podcast with John List of True Footage. And very interesting. It's a new, I wouldn't call it an AMC, but it is acting and functioning like an AMC. He graduated from Harvard and came out and launched a business in 2021, and he already has over 250 appraisers. They're all 41 years or younger. That's just interesting, the fact, given our age of our that. But he's saying he's predicting that AMCs are going away. And I said, I thought that was a requirement of Dodd-Frank. And he says, no, it was suggestion of Dodd-Frank. And I'm going, I've got to get Alice on this. What are your thoughts when it comes to AMCs? I would love to have you research it if you wouldn't mind, but your thoughts on that, on AMCs.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to understand what his thought process is. We have a saying over here, look at all eight sides, because it actually feels like the opposite from a lender's perspective, that the AMC serves as that firewall. They manage the appraisers for lenders. Maybe in the cost analysis, would be something I'd be interested to hear what he has to say and what his approach is. But it does start to feel, when you see this type of a memo come out, it feels the opposite. It feels like Fannie and Freddie want us to use the AMCs. They can't come out and say that, though.
Yeah, they're not going to come out and blatantly say it per se, but it's what kicks off when you see that an AMC was not used, utilized. We're going to be doing that recording. It's going to be coming up later this week. I'll invite you to that. If you could participate in it, I'll have Ben make sure you're invited. Love to have you participate and get your thoughts on it. So very good. Alice, Albie, so grateful for you to participate in this podcast each and every week. Thank you, Alice. Have a great week.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Alan Pollock is here with an update on technology. Alan, I appreciate you and the research you do on what's going on out there. I'm thinking about, you're the one that brought ChatGPT to our attention here a number of months ago. And I know how obsessed we've all become with that. And even more developments are happening there. I'd be meeting with Pavan of SunWest Mortgage on Wednesday. I met with him this past week, and what he's developed through Angel AI. Now, he had a product that they called Morgan, which was very sophisticated and developed, and he's even developed it further and further. So angelai.ai, and you can go out there and try it, listeners. You got to check this out. It's what's going on. But what else is going on? With that, we have our good friend, Alan Pollock. Alan, good to have you on the podcast.
Oh, great to be here. And we're going to see a lot of stuff like what Pavan's doing coming out. We're just at the beginning of this. The great thing is that if you're working with a number of good tech providers, they're trying these things out, which means they'll bring it right to you. So if you are worried about lending and not worried about technology, I'd say, don't worry, you're going to get your opportunity. Speaking about ChatGPT, David, I found, this is really funny, somebody was just playing around and they went in and said, what is the capital of France? And ChatGPT came back and said, Paris. And he goes, thanks, bro. This was the person that asked the question. And GPT goes, you're welcome. Feel free to ask me if you have any other questions. And the guy goes, rephrase that in a more bro way. And so ChatGPT goes, no problem, bro. Hit me up if you need anything else. And the guy goes, make it more bro-y. And so GPT goes, yo, bro, ain't no thing. Let me know if you need anything else, dude. And so the guy goes one more time. He goes, please make it more super bro-y. And so GPT goes, sup, bro, you good? Ain't no sweat, my dude. Just give me a holla if you need anything, okay? And then he goes in one more time and he goes, you can do better than that. Make it bro-y. And so GPT goes, hey, bro-sif, what's cracking? Don't even trip, you dig? Just holla at me if you need any more intel, my hombre.
That's hilarious. What you're bringing out is that if you're communicating, ChatGPT has so much power in the way of helping people communicate to whatever age group or persuasion or whatever you want. And I think those are some of the values that you bring out. Now, it's bringing it out in a humorous way, but there are going to be those that learn how to communicate and using ChatGPT are going to take them out of themselves and put their communication in alignment with who they're talking to. And that's a real good example of that. It's funny.
My home break, here's what's cracking. DoorDash. They just launched a brand new AI answering service for restaurants that will put you on the phone with an AI assistant. What they're doing is they're making it where the people that work at the restaurant don't have to pick up the phone over and over again. It makes it easier for their staff to manage takeout orders, and it will upsell us consumers by offering curated recommendations to complement their meal. So it's going out in pilot. It's not available to everyone yet. If you happen to live in one of those cool areas where you get to try this out, let us know. We'd love to hear your feedback and if it works or not. But that's the new DoorDash automated AI answering system. You can just talk to it. Yeah. So David, beyond that, let's get cracking about some mortgage stuff. ICE, yeah. Black Knight Financial, they are set to close the deal on 9/15. $11.7 billion. So it's a big deal. As we know, some of the assets have been sold off to Constellation Mortgage or other groups. So there'll be new competition in town. But at the same time, this deal looks like it's finally going to come to a close.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Any thoughts, Mark? Are you hearing that? You jump it in?
Yeah, I'll tell you a thought about that. That deal with, I think, the person that he just mentioned, I'm not going to be found quoting that name, that bought a piece of the asset so that deal could come together. That's been working a long time because they were involved in a deal that I was involved with a while back, and they had to step away from that deal because they had something more important. Finally, I figured out what it was. Constellation is going to be I'll use their name. Constellation is an outstanding company, and they're going to be a major player. They are consolidating so much of the mortgage services and mortgage systems in the industry right now. It's just unbelievable. One of these days, they might even rival what becomes a Black Knight and ICE and all that down the road. But I think we're just going to see more of that. I do want to do one closing thing on ChatGPT, if I could, with Alan. I'll make a statement. Most everybody on the phone call knows Kristen Rangel, who's my chief operating officer, and obviously knew me. We do not produce one piece of paper out of our organization anymore that we don't run through ChatGPT to take a look at. I'm talking about a write-up on a consulting assignment. I'm talking about memorandums. I just wrote a letter to one of the GSEs that had a lot of stuff to cover in it, and I had that go through it. I cannot tell you how invaluable that has been to us in making sure we say it the right way with the suggestions and all we get from ChatGPT. They're not writing it for us. We're writing it, but everything we send out goes through a test with ChatGPT, and I found it to be invaluable. So if you're not doing that today, you need to do it tomorrow.
Good point. I agree.
I agree. Actually, Mark, I had a contract that recently, it was an NDA that really wasn't aligned right. And I had ChatGPT not only identify where it wasn't mutual, but identify where the strengths were too short or too strong. Uh-huh. And also, you have to tell it what you want. Like, I had to say, please provide me the updated version and put in bold letters the changes you make, so that you have the ability to know where the changes were made. But it's an amazing tool. And if you leverage it the right way, it's like the most unbelievable assistant you never had.
Well, Alan, I do the same thing you do. And quite frankly, I cannot even start to consider how much time it's saved me so far. It's made us so much more efficient than batting around and reading emails and letters and papers we wrote up on consulting and all over and over again to keep enhancing it when we can do it in one foul swoop. Absolutely. Like that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about a couple more things, David. My hombre, let's first talk about Ready Price. They have launched what they are now calling Shop, Lock, and Deliver. It's an innovative new platform designed to help independent mortgage brokers like you save time and money. The reason why I read it word for word is because I shared it from Rob Krisman's report. So thank you, Rob, for the detailed information. But I'll tell you what Ready Price said, and they're one of those names that, at least from my side, you don't hear them often. They've been there for quite a bit of time. Anyways, you can now shop, get this, for competitive loan offerings from multiple lenders. You get rate lock guarantees in real time, receive underwriting findings, and deliver the borrower's complete loan file to lenders all in a single platform at no cost. Why is this such a big deal? Because you need to be relying on technology. You've got this market be pricing real time. You've got the markets moving. You've got to be able to understand and help educate your borrowers and compare different options, right? You got to try different down payment options, try with seller concessions, without seller concessions. You want to be able to talk and interview a borrower and say, hey, did you know about gift funds? And then reprice a deal with another $5,000 down. You've got to use these tools. If you're not using them effectively, ask those relations, those partners, vendors for training to help. But they're just so critical today. Very timely and very good from Ready Price. Check them out. David Redfin. We all know who Redfin is. They just put out another report. They said, you ready? The typical U.S. home buyer's monthly payment is up nearly 20% from a year ago. Obviously, right? That's no surprise. But here's the thing. We should be using the technology, just like what Ready Price has recently said they're doing, to make sure that we're helping borrowers be educated and better understand. I won't mention a tech that's out there. Someone's working on it right now, but it does a really cool thing with helping borrowers understand mortgage rates and payments. There's going to be a lot more of it. Please check it out. Take a look at it. That's something to really think about. And then finally, David, I'm going to leave us on this note. I had a vendor actually ask the question. It wasn't to me direct. It was me as part of a group of some other people. And they said, what do you do on the vendor side? We're losing customers. We need to save the relationship. And this is a vendor that's been in the market for 15 years, the person that asked the question. Ultimately, the feedback was from the group, and I'm just going to list. It was 3 to 4 quick items here. Listen to your customers, right? You can't just keep building and assume they will come. Listen to them. Call them. Everybody's got those customers on the vendor side that are your friends, that are your guinea pigs. Call them up. Ask them. And have a way to get other feedback from all of your customers. Not always webinars help you with what you need. You truly may need to reach out and use your relationship. You may need to send them ability to fill out a quick survey, but talk to your customers. And then with those, make sure you respond right away. If a customer has a support request, exceptional customer service is what you can do to continue to curate and maintain that relationship. And finally, improve upon your platform, right? Improve upon your user experience. We're not, just because we built tech and we had a great idea, doesn't mean we're the best designers. It doesn't mean we know how to build everything or we know the only way to present something on the screen. Listen to your customers, listen to your partners, your friends, and be able to make those improvements. So I'll end with that. That was hopefully that's helpful for any of the folks that are listening to our podcast. And thank you everyone for listening. At least for me, we're not ending the podcast. Back to you, Hombre.
Yeah, that's funny. That is hilarious. No, it's good. It's excellent. What are your thoughts? Where do you see, or do you have any sense, Alan, of where this is going with ChatGPT or the whole AI engines? I am blown away with what I'm seeing Pavan at SunWest doing with Angel AI. It just never ceases to amaze me. He is so far, appears to be so far ahead of where everyone else is at, that I'm going, why is this not being talked about more? So how far can we, are we going to have this to the point where, like, when you walk in to buy a car, you're going to be able to pull your credit and you're going to be able to drive off with a car. You have regulatory disclosures and all that sort of stuff. It's going to take a couple of days. Is this really
point? It's everywhere, David. It's almost at the point now where it's customary, right? Everyone's using AI. Everyone is considering it. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of people in every industry that's working on AI, but I will tell you, some people, the way that our specific market is right now, are not willing to just throw a ton of money into revolutionizing their product with AI. They're focused on selling based on what they have right now. So you're going to get guys like Pavan and some other ones that have the ability to invest in something new and want to get out and be a trendsetter, which I love that. That I wish more were doing that. But the general consensus was really what your question was. And so generally, I think we're going to see it, going to be customary, to recap what I said. And then I think that we're going to see an uptick in that. AI, yes, the underwriting, the ability to buy a car, the ability to walk in. Will you even walk into a bank anymore? Banks are very worried about that. They were when COVID came around about all the money they were spending in branch expansion. Open banking has become a new thing. So the data is now available, even though people say it's still hard to get at. Imagine the AI and all the plugins and tools that are going to use our data to help determine how we should better spend our money. It's just going to grow and it's going to continue. And I think it's such an amazing, it's like a rocket ship that hasn't launched yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Anticipation is growing and growing, especially the more of us, more like what Mark said, how he's using it and what the extent that he's using it. Same here. Just really interesting. Thank you, Alan, being here. Appreciate it so much. If you want to get a hold of Alan, learn more about topics he's talked about, or if you are wanting to know more about the other aspects of what's going on in technology, please get a hold of Alan. You can reach him at Alan, A-L-E-N, at tms-advisors.com. Alan, always interesting. Thank you so much for your report. Appreciate it.
I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors as we exit out here. Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, Candor Technologies, Simple Nexus, iEmergent, Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, The Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex, and Mortgage Advisory Tools. So good to have you here, everyone. Have a great week and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for